Good morning, you're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. I'm at the NAFCD meeting in New Orleans, and I'm with Jeff Hamer, the CEO of Gallagher. Jeff, how you doing?
Doing well today. Thanks, Kemp.
Gallagher, most people know, is a major distributor in Southern California, and you've also gotten into wood production, so you also have some lines of wood flooring products. How's business?
Business has definitely gotten better the last 3 or 4 months. So what started as a softer part of the year, we're seeing a lot of activity, and we're feeling better about things right now.
So you keeping Quad C happy?
I think they are. I think that they like the structure of the business. I think they like the direction that we're going. I think that, you know, nobody's happy with the fact there hasn't been a lot of growth this year. But I think long term, we're also very bullish on the opportunity.
Just a side note, Quad C, I owned Tandis for a long time, and in addition to owning you as a private equity company, they own Stanton as well, right?
They do, and that's just a terrific company. And Quad C, I think, believes that there's what Stanton is doing and what Gallagher is doing are very similar but in slightly different spaces, and I think they believe very much in those strategies that Gallagher and Stanton are putting in place right now.
You made a comment to me earlier today that you felt like the floor covering business has just gone through 2 consecutive quarters of negative growth. So we've had a little flooring recession, wouldn't you say?
I think so. If you look at the results of the publicly traded companies, where we all have reported negative sales growth for the last 2 quarters, and I think you look at the downward, what's happened from import numbers, they're all off from a year ago. So if a definition is 2 consecutive quarters of negative economic activity, I think clearly there's been a bit of a recession in flooring this year. And I think we're out of it now, and I think next year will be definitely better than what we had in 2019.
One of the dynamics, obviously, is floor and decor, and that's an opportunity for the consumer to buy it direct from an importer. So that changes the dynamics. They're growing. They're also seeing a little bit of growth, I guess, with the home centers, which is another dynamic. But, I mean, I've got to comment. I'm here with these distributors, and this is the biggest crowd they've ever had. What's that tell us?
Well, I think that there's enthusiasm and excitement about going forward, and I think there's people are looking for strategies and approaches to make it happen. You know, you mentioned floor decor and Home Depot. If you go back over the last 2 years, they've grown about $1.7 billion in top-line revenue, and India's growing less than that. So you could argue that all of the growth over the last 2 years has been concentrated in just a couple of players, which I think is interesting, but I certainly think it leaves a lot of business for the distributor to get, and I think that's what excites a lot of people here in New Orleans today.
You participated in an article we wrote in Floor Focus magazine. So I want to point it out. The October issue, you were one of our main interviewees, and you talked about the fact that we're in the last days of a 60-year cycle that started with World War II.
I think that you had the U.S. with the establishment of railroads and transportation systems. You allowed for the first time in the 40s and 50s and 60s manufacturers to be in one part of the country and effectively provide solutions for customers someplace far, far away. And that U.S. North American supply chain, that centric supply chain, I think has evolved over the last decade where it's much more global. I think manufacturers have lost power. You've had the emergence of a lot of new players in the home centers and the direct-to-consumer channels. And I think that what we all grew up with, I certainly did in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, that market doesn't exist anymore. I think what's happening right now is we've got clearly some cyclical headwinds based on just, you know, housing sales being down and resale activity being a bit soft. But I don't think people should get confused by those cyclical headwinds and what is, in my opinion, some fairly significant structural changes to the industry. And I think the key right now is to focus on the structural changes and what the industry is going to look like over the next 10 years rather than what is happening right now and certainly what's happened over the last decade or two.
Well, I'm all ears. Tell me about it.
Well, I think there's 3 or 4 kind of main themes, I think. I think that despite their efforts, U.S. manufacturers have lost a lot of power, particularly with the distributors, given the fact that the brands have become less important to the consumer. So the thing that the manufacturers had most control of, which was their brand, you think of the Armstrong and Bruce and people like that in the 80s and 90s, that doesn't have that same resonating effect with the consumer today. When you have a vacuum, you have other ways to fill that vacuum. And I think that's driven, I think, changes at retail. And clearly, the traditional retail channel has been under pressure for years. I think those pressures are going to accelerate. So distributors and retailers are going to need to find ways to connect with consumers and provide a reasonable alternative to what is the home centers can do. I think, which leads into this whole effort of consolidation in terms of what manufacturers and distributors are doing. Some of them work, a lot don't. A lot of capital has been spent that maybe has not been particularly, return has not been what is expected. It kind of leads into this whole, I think, area of sales and marketing changes. You know, it used to be just you just flood people with displays and samples. But now I think there's a lot more sophistication in terms of digital media, social media, ways to connect with consumers, and I don't think a lot of people are really connected, kind of those new opportunities with how they're developing their go-to-market strategies. And, of course, just this whole change in product, which has been, I think, particularly in the LVT and the rigid products, has happened at such an incredibly fast pace that it's hard for all of us to really understand where that's going. So those are just some of the things that we're really focusing on is kind of what is it going to look like, you know, 5 years from now, and how do we make sure we're there rather than trying to fight the battles.
Well, I mean, you bought a wood manufacturing company, so you're a manufacturer, and you also have focused on private labels. So those are two strategic decisions you've made, right?
Well, they have been. And talking about the private label wood, we kind of redid our one of our brands, Reward, in the last year, and those sales are up 33% this year. And I think we got out of China completely a year ago, made that decision, and used that opportunity to kind of update the line and bring some new looks in, and they've been remarkably well received by the market. And in this manufacturing, it really is focused on the high end. And we believe that the, you know, talking about this wealth gap thing, it's all over the politics today, but there's no question there the one of the faster growing groups of people is the higher income people. And we just didn't think that the market provided that consumer with the parts that they wanted. So we put a lot of effort into that upper end of the market, both with our Monarch line and with our custom factory. And the results have been remarkable because I think consumers really are looking for ways to differentiate their home through product. And a lot of the products that are kind of mass available don't meet the needs or expectations that higher end consumer has. And so you have to look for these pockets of opportunity and then go really deep and drive change through there that really is something that allows you to have a place that you can defend and makes a lot of sense for the consumer.
Well, let me ask you, this wood program you have, is that a national scope, or are you mostly Southern California with that?
Well, I mean, we actually do more business right now in Northern California. So we've got 23 locations in California, Arizona, Nevada. But we've got a network of about 10 or 12 agents in most of the bigger cities around the country. And just last month, we had a $110,000 custom plank and parquet job in a country club in Chicago. And so we're finding these opportunities through this agent of networks to where these product needs aren't being met in some of the other places around the country. So we're still primarily West Coast, but there is interest in many other places as well.
Let me ask you, what's your advice to retailers now if they want to survive in light of Home Depot, Lowe's, and Floor and Decor?
Well, you have to understand who your customer is really, really well. And if your customer is the same customer as a Home Depot, Lowe's, you'll say, how can I do what they do better? But if it might not be, then I think you have to say, how do I position my showroom, my whole effort, my marketing, my sales effort, my merchandise effort to get people in here who are not going to go to a Home Depot or a Lowe's, who are looking for either a different experience, a different product selection opportunity, and really meet that person's needs. And there's no question that you're going to see these home centers cap out at whether it's 35-40% of the market, but there's still going to be a significant amount of business for retailers, I mean, both in terms of residential replacement, but in new construction, property management, commercial. So it's where are those niches you can go that you can invest some money today and really create an opportunity that's going to last a long time because you're just different than other people out there.
Do you have to go big or go home?
I don't think you have to go big or go home. I think the guys in trouble are the middle guys, in the middle. I think if you're small, you can be a really niche guy, and you can really, I think, exploit some opportunities well. I think if you're bigger, you've got scale, you've got efficiency, you've got, you know, capabilities to get better people and better programs. I think the guys that are going to really struggle the most are these people in the middle because they can't compete with the big guys, but they don't have the personalization of the small guys. So that's my sense.
All right, Jeff, great to talk to you. Thanks for your insight. Again, been talking to Jeff Hamer, the CEO of Gallagher, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.